Life would be very different, if not downright impossible, without seeds. They make new plants. Plants feed us and protect us and provide all kinds of goods. And, of course, they make new seeds to start the process all over again. A lot of people are worried about seeds in the world today and how they are kept and managed and controlled. Their feelings are profiled in a documentary film called Seed, The Untold Story. It will screen in Mount Shasta and Corvallis today and in Ashland and Grants Pass tomorrow. In fact, it'll be at the Varsity Theater in Ashland for a full week. Taggart Siegel is the co-director of Seed, The Untold Story with John Betts. Taggart Siegel is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's executive director of Collective Eye Films based in Portland. Hi, Taggart.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you here today. I noticed that there were a previous couple of films that you did on farms and bees. Was this the obvious next step in agricultural issues that you were covering?
Yeah, I mean, for years I've been really passionate about films that are deeply connected to nature and our food. And Seed is the Untold Story is the third and final film in a trilogy that began with The Real Dirt on Farmer John. That was 2005. And, you know, that tells a story about a maverick farmer and who saves his family farm against all odds and builds an incredible community-supported agricultural farm. And this was at a time where there are very few CSA farms, and no, there hadn't been really any films at that point where the farmer was just, like, really highlighted in a great way. And then out of that came, like, God, you know, this was 2010, and I had no idea that honeybees were disappearing at that point, or 2007 when I started filming or doing research. And it was just like, oh, my God, bees are dying out. They're collapsing. And that was the next wake-up call. That was like, oh, my God, bees are dying. They help supply all our food, and they're always in service to nature. And so we made Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? And that investigates the mysterious colony collapse disorder and what's ravaging our honeybees around the world. And so then out of that came, out of looking at a National Geographic article, and I was just like reading, and I was looking at the Svalbard seed bank way up in the Arctic Circle, and I was like, wow, this is really an amazing place. Like, they're storing all our seeds. And then I saw, oh, my God, 94% of our seed varieties have disappeared since 1903. And that just made me, like, shiver and think, God, this is just horrible. Like, we've lost all the seed varieties in the last 100 years or so. And that's when I knew that it was my next film, Seed, The Untold Story.
Let's get an idea of a bit of a flavor of the film. We grabbed some clips off of the trailer for Seed, The Untold Story, and here's a good flavor for what it sounds like.
Seed saving is all about sex, and humans are all obsessed with sex, even if it's rutabaga sex.
My sweetheart.
This is right up there with making love to your spouse.
Seeds are so crafty.
The diversity in our seed stocks is as endangered as a panda or a polar bear right now.
Wow, that's pretty strong stuff. And so So it gets back to what you were saying just a second ago yourself about looking at the story about the Svalbard seed bank. I remember reading about it in The New Yorker myself. But the idea that we're saving seeds because so many varieties have been lost. Why have they been lost? What'd you find out?
Well, that's really the untold story, that the fact that in the last 100 years especially, we've shifted our attention to saving seeds from generation to generation like our ancestors did. I would say our great-grandparents. They were always thinking about their seeds. In the United States, in the 1800s, there were like 90% of the population were living on farms. And now it's 2%. So you could see in the process of our industrialization of agriculture that seeds gradually got, or not gradually, like quickly got lost, because the advent of hybrid seeds in the 1920s, especially with corn, was this new, bigger, better, stronger seed that the yields were so much higher that farmers turned to that, and they'd get their crops in a little bit earlier, and the yield was so much better, and they made more money. And those farmers, those same farmers, were the ones that were saving seed from year to year to year, and then suddenly they're buying their seed and giving it up. And the industrialists were very clever in figuring out how to create a seed where the farmers had to buy seeds every year. And that's the march to Monsanto, so to speak, of like these big industrial corporations that are coming in and gobbling up all these seed companies. Over 20,000 seed companies have been bought up by a handful of corporations that now control 80% of our seeds. So that was something that we abdicated that responsibility over 100 years, and we're partially to blame, all of us, but the corporations knew, wow, we can make a lot of money on this.
Taggart Siegel is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the co-director with John Betts of Seed, The Untold Story, coming to screens in several places around the region. Starting today, we'll give you the full rundown in just a couple of moments. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions or comments about the changes we've made in agriculture, specifically as regards seeds. You're welcome to join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Taggart, the way you describe the process that goes on, it sounds like the way that when you want to continue using your computer software, you continue to pay a new charge every year. Is that essentially what's happened with seeds, too?
Well, yes, with Monsanto, especially with GMO corn seeds, soybeans, and all that, the farmer has to be basically being charged for seeds every year. They have to go back and buy the seeds. So they're really dependent on these chemical pesticide seed companies. And oftentimes they're almost forced to be growing those seeds because they're in contract and it's hard to get out of that contract. And they're really in that sort of difficult situation if they give up growing genetically modified corn, let's say, in the Midwest where there's millions of acres of corn being grown. You know, how are they going to support their family? Well, it's already pretty hard to support their family, so they often have two jobs and things like that. And it used to be that a 350-acre farm used to support a family. And now it's like it's often 1,000 acres, and still somebody in the family has to have another job to supplement. But the thing that's happened is that farmers have become almost enslaved by the corporations that control them, and that's really where. Farmers are so resilient and so strong often, and it's kind of that they like being really independent. So it's a little ironic to see that the farmers have actually gotten into this situation. And I really love the wheat farmers are a testimony for the strength of farmers. They said, nope, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have GMO patented wheat. We're not doing that. And they fought it, and to this day, even though Monsanto spent 10 years bringing out a GMO wheat seed, the farmers stood up and said, no, we don't want that. And that's the thing is that, you know, the wheat farmers have a little more freedom than the ones that are dependent on GMO corn seeds or soy.
Yeah, I was going to say that corn and soy are very heavily genetically modified by this point, but wheat, you're saying, didn't go that trail.
Right, and it's interesting, but there's been, unfortunately, there's, you probably heard in Oregon and even Montana, there's been GMO test plots or even wheat test plots where the wheat has been discovered, GMO wheat, mm-hmm. And it's like, where did that come from? And to this day, they don't exactly know where it came from. But obviously, maybe a farmer went to a Fort Collins seed bank or something and got some seed out and planted them, and suddenly there's GMO wheat next to other wheat farms. And what's so dangerous about this is that most of the world doesn't want GMO wheat. or let's say all the world doesn't. They want our wheat that's shipped to Asia and places like that. The market almost collapsed when they found out that their GMO wheat possibly contaminating. So they didn't want our wheat. And what's that like for a farmer to find out that they can't sell their wheat that year? I mean, that's devastating.
All kinds of stuff that comes up in the film Seed, the Untold Story. Taggart Siegel, again, the co-director. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's get another clip out of the trailer for Seed, the Untold Story.
Monsanto now owns a quarter of all the world's seeds, along with a couple of other companies. They own about 60% of all the world's commercial seeds.
You've taken seed that has been there for thousands of years and put a patent on it and say you own it. Basically, it's robbery.
The threat is there to plant our seeds. We're the custodians of this knowledge and the corn. And out there, others take it away.
The seed that we use to grow our food, sold by chemical companies, by pesticide and pharmaceutical companies.
So let's get more squarely on that part of it, Taggart Siegel. Did something change in law, or just did something change in business practices that led to essentially big companies cornering markets on seed?
Well, when Thomas Jefferson said that you can't patent life in the 1700s, he was really on to something very serious. He knew that life, the seeds, for example, were like living organisms. And, you know, you could patent a machine or, you know, something that you invent, but you can't patent the seed. And so, you know, this of course, we know that we now can patent life. We can patent seeds. And that happened in the 80s. And these big chemical corporations like Monsanto ran with that and knew, God, we could patent seeds, we could patent life. Even though that life changes, it's a living organism and it's shifting, you know, at all times. But they're kind of saying that it's not like this permanent thing like a tennis racket, you know, that's just like it's you invented, it's a tennis racket. Whereas a seed, you don't invent the seed. The seed is something that's living, viable system that's changing all the time. And so this is one of the most outrageous laws, I think, on Earth right now, is that we can patent seeds. And then that's why in the trailer that you just heard, that's Lee from the Hopi Nation, who's like been worshiping corn. He sings to his corn every morning when he's growing it. And then they do ceremonies around the corn, and they feed their families and everything, and it's been handed down for thousands of years. And then he's threatened by the conglomerates coming in and possibly patenting his seeds, because the Hopi have one of the most drought-resistant seeds on planet Earth. The Hopi went to the parts of the United States and to the most kind of dry, deserty kind of conditions, and they've been growing Hopi corn for thousands of years. And so many of these people that nations and indigenous people that have been growing seeds, so, you know, through the family line, you know, they're the owners, if there are any owners. A corporation comes in and changes one gene and says, we own that. And that's the fear that's being sent out all around the world, is that farmers can be sued for that. For, you know, if a big corporation suddenly patents it. And so that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to patent life and patent everything that exists in life. And so there's the corporations that could make a lot of money from that. And they do make a lot of money from that. And it's creating a lot of fear, and a lot of farmers get, you know, sued. And even Percy Smyser, that you heard in the trailer right there, he was the canola farmer up in Canada that basically he didn't even know about GMOs in at that time in the early 90s. And a GMO canola farmer next door, his pollen spread into Percy Smizer's field that was an organic canola field and got contaminated. And Monsanto came to them and said, GMO canola in your field, and they took him to court, and they won, you know, which is just amazing that an innocent farmer who had no idea, who didn't ask for this GMO canola to drift into his field, is the one that gets sued, and they took his canola away from him, which he'd been breeding for you know, a couple generations.
We've been talking about the Percy Smizer case for a couple of years off and on. Did he end up paying anything, or did he end up held harmless?
You know, I'm not sure. But he did testify recently in the court in Hague. There's a tribunal against Monsanto that's being held in The Hague in Holland. It's the International Civil Society Initiative to hold Monsanto accountable for human rights violations, crimes against humanity, and ecocide. And Percy Smizer was one of the ones that testified on around October 16th this year.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about agriculture and seed here on the Jefferson Exchange with Taggart Siegel. He's the co-director with John Betts of Seed, the Untold Story, which is coming to these screens. It'll be the Mount Shasta Cinema 6 today in Mount Shasta, at the Darkside Cinema in Corvallis today through Saturday, at the Southgate Cinema in Grants Pass tomorrow, and opening at the Varsity Theater for a week in Ashland as well. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. You might have questions about this whole agricultural process and how complicated it seems to be when we hear stories like Seed, the Untold Story. Let's get your thoughts at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Talk about how the seed banks that we talked about earlier fit in with all of this, that they're saving seed that is, I assume, pure and not engineered in any sort of way. I mean, it seems like the banks could be handing that out to people who would then be creating more plants that would then create more seeds.
Well, you would think that in an ideal world, you would think you would have access to these seeds that are in seed banks. But only very few people could actually go to a seed bank and actually get seeds. So, you know, you have this Svalbard seed bank up in the Arctic Circle. That's for that's for countries holding their backup seeds in the vault up in the Arctic Circle, and that's great to have. Except that the common person cannot get to those seeds. Most seed banks, if they're government owned, especially, cannot get to those seeds very easily. So the seed banks are very vulnerable. In war, you know, the United States took out the Iraqi seed bank.
I noticed that in the film. So we actually bombed a seed bank in Baghdad or something?
We bombed a seed bank. And as Claire Hope Cummings said, she says, you know, it's the most tragic things that we could have done was to bomb something that is the heritage for all people. Some of these wheats that were in that seed bank will go extinct because of that. They were like so precious, so important for humanity. And these seed banks are the holder of what, you know, these thousands of years of basically genetics to create these seeds that actually could get us out of climate change or get us help protect us, because we don't know what seed is in that seed bank that might get us through to the next time period. And as we know, things are changing very rapidly in the climate. So we need those seeds that we think maybe aren't that important. Kind of like Will Bonzel, the guy with the long beard. He's kind of the Noah character in our film. He's amazing. He says, "I'm Noah. I'm not God. I save everything. You know, I put everything on the ship."
He's the one in that first clip talking about plant sex?
Yes. He's hysterical. And you know, it's really important in a documentary like that. It's not all. It's characters that we follow. We we love the people that we film and the seed keepers, the Native Americans, and we go to Hawaii and we go to India and Africa. There's a botanical seed explorer who makes everybody laugh so hard, you know, the way he's like going into the Amazon or Africa and exploring and finding new seeds that he really feels that will help mankind with all this climate change going on.
Let's get a call in here. Nicole in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Taggart Siegel.
Good morning, Jeffrey, and thank you, Taggart?
Taggart yes. Siegel, yeah.
Yeah, right? Taggart, thank you.
Taggart, thank you so much for bringing this, all these points up that I didn't even realize existed about, especially about the farmer going to The Hague and that Monsanto is being sued for crimes against humanity. It is a crime against humanity. I've been following the GMO, well, since the 80s, and I remember then that 80% of voters voted against it, and the GMO was like this horrible snake that kept finding ways around it until it finally was able to take even reluctant farmers and get them to buy that seed. So I definitely want to see your films, and I'm not sure when you said it was coming to the Varsity. I know it's coming soon,
tomorrow. Tomorrow. So November 4th through 10th at the Varsity Theater in Ashland.
Thank you so much.
The Varsity in Ashland, I believe it's on Saturday. That's when I will be there, and there will be musicians there and a lot of seed people there. Chris Hardy, hopefully Don Tipping, local seed people in the Ashland Grants Pass area.
Taggart, before we go, and we're just almost out of time here, there is a call to action in the film. What would you like people to do once they see this?
Well, this is what's really important. You guys are doing it down in Ashland and Josephine County and all these areas. Let's keep banning like GMO seeds in these counties, Jackson County, Josephine County. Mm-hmm. Let's continue this because it's a miracle the seed growers in the Willamette Valley and mm-hmm. Southern Oregon.
Okay, Seed, the Untold Story of the documentary. Taggart Siegel is the co-director with John Betts. Taggart, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange today. Short break.